Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you again for your word. And we thank you in particular for this passage from Ezekiel that we read this morning and that we're going to look at here for several minutes. And we pray that as we do so, you would help us to grow in our understanding of your word and what it said to Ezekiel, but also what it says to us and what it means for us today as your church. So bless us and work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what is the measure of success? Now, if someone posed that question to us, if they just came up to you and generally asked that question of you, your initial response may be, well, it kind of depends on what it is that you're talking about. However, that being said, and I think we all see truth in that, but the standard that we typically use is one and the same regardless of what it is that we're discussing. If we decided to open up a bakery, for example, we would determine success based upon the number of customers we were able to serve. We would determine success based on the number of donuts or cookies or cakes that we were able to sell. We would determine success by the amount of profit that we were able to generate. And for this reason, we would do everything we could to drum up business, and we would do whatever we could to bring customers into our shop so that we could sell to them our product. In the same way, if we decided we were going to work at Best Buy or if we were going to become TV salesmen, we would determine success, again, by the number of TVs that we were able to sell. We would determine success based on the number of customers we were able to serve and, again, by the profit that we were able to generate. And for this reason, we would do everything that we could to bring in new customers, and we would do everything that we could to sell to these people as many TVs as we possibly could. And getting away from selling stuff, the same is true even if we went off into a different venture. Let's say that we decided we were going to start a band, okay? We're going to start a band, we're going to make music. But yet again, the way that we determine success would largely be the same. We would determine our success based on the number of performances that we were able to book. We would determine success based upon the number of albums that we were able to sell. And so again, we would do all that we could to book those performances and to sell our music to anybody who would buy it. Now, when it comes to the church, many people want to treat it in the very same way as they do everything else. They want to treat it like a business. And what I mean is that they determine success in the church in the same way as they do in every other area of life. However, the church is different. In the church, success is measured in a very different way. Now, as believers, as the church, we know, first of all, getting back to the foundation, what Jesus has done for us. We know and we remember that Jesus took on flesh. We know that he came and he lived in this world, and that as he did so, he lived the perfect life that you and I are unable to live. We remember how he gave his life on the cross, paying the penalty of our sins, and we remember that he rose from the grave, providing for us justification. And we also know that he did all of this for us while we were yet sinners. He did all of this for us while we were yet his enemies. He did all of this for us while we were completely undeserving of everything that he came to give. We also realize the call that he has given to us as his people. We know that he has called us to go out and to bear witness of Jesus, of his life, his death, and his resurrection. We know that he has called us to go forth and to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And we know that he's called us to go out and to make disciples of all nations. And he's given to us this call because he desires the salvation of not only a few, but of all. By his death on the cross, we know that Jesus, he served as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of not only some, but for all people. And we know that this blessing is available to not only some, but to everybody through faith in him. And because this is true, our calling, it's something that we should take very seriously as a congregation, and it's also something that we should take very seriously as individual believers. We should do all that we can to proclaim this message and also to make disciples. However, the standard or the measure of success that we tend to use is flawed because, as I mentioned earlier, we tend to use that same measure that we use for everything else that we do. It's the same standard that we would use if we opened a bakery, if we sold TVs, or again, even if we decided to start a band. And for that reason, for so many people in the church today, success is measured by the number of people who are filling the pews each and every Sunday morning. Success might be determined by the number of people on our membership roll. How many people are members of this church? Success might be determined by the number of new converts we've seen in the past year, or by the number of people who have decided to make this congregation their home. It might be determined by the number of baptisms we have performed. It might be determined by the number of students we've confirmed. And of course, for so many, success in the church is measured by the amount of money that's in the offering plate each and every week. Our tendency is to measure success in terms of results that we can see. Success is determined in ways that are measurable. It's determined in ways that can be counted. It's often argued, and I've heard this so many times from Christians, and probably very sincere Christians, that if a church is not growing, if it's not enlarging, it's because that congregation has not been faithful to the Lord or to the call that he's given to them. They often tell us when making this argument that the church is like a vine or the church is like a tree, and if a tree or a vine is not growing, it's dead. And the same thing they tell us is true when it comes to the church. However, I think although it's fair to say that each and every one of us gathered here today, we all want to see growth. We want to see our church enlarging. We want to see people in our community, people in our country, people around the world who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing is further from the truth. Nothing is further from the truth. And this is something that is clearly seen as we look at our lesson for this morning. Now, before we dive into it, just real briefly, glancing back at the first chapter of this book, we learn that Ezekiel had seen visions of the Lord. And as is often the case, when someone in Scripture encountered the Lord, Ezekiel fell on his face, and the Lord then spoke to him. Now, as we get into the beginning of chapter 2, we see that empowered by the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel stood up on his feet, and he heard the word of the Lord. And starting in verse 3, this is what God said to him. Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. Their descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. So again, we see here that God had called Ezekiel, and he had specifically called Ezekiel to go to the people of Israel. However, as he did so, God did not speak very kindly of the people of this nation. In fact, God refers to them as a nation of rebels. And this is really interesting, especially considering our typical way of thinking when it comes to Israel or to the Jews. We typically think of them as God's people, as God's chosen people. We tend to think of their nation, again, as God's nation, as his chosen nation. We tend to think this way even today, even while a vast majority of Jews continue to reject Jesus and the gospel by which each and every one of us are saved. However, it's clear from this that the Israelites, that the nation of Israel, they were anything but God's people. Although God had been very faithful to them as his people, they had not been faithful to him. They had rebelled against the Lord. he points out that throughout their history, they had transgressed against him, and God goes on to describe them as impudent. He describes them as stubborn. And even though this was their condition, and even though they were completely undeserving, Ezekiel was called to go to these people, and he was called to declare to them the word of the Lord. He was to speak to them the exact words that God gave him to speak, and he was to do so regardless of the response that he received. Now, looking at God's words in verse 5, God is absolutely clear that the people might hear, but he's equally clear that the people might not hear. They might refuse to hear. And when God speaks of them hearing, he's not referring to their ability to audibly hear his word. He's not referring to whether or not they needed hearing aids and whether or not they could make out his words. He's referring to their reception of his word or their refusal of it. This, of course, is very similar to something that we've all experienced, whether it be with our spouse or our kids, right? We say something to them and we receive absolutely no response. They don't do what we've asked them to do, and sometimes they don't even acknowledge that we've said anything to them, but it's clear, right, that they have heard us. We hear those complaints all the time. And the very same thing is true here. Through Ezekiel, the people of Israel were to hear the word of the Lord. But regardless of their response or their lack of response to the word of God, they would know that a prophet had been among them. They would know that a prophet had been there sharing with them the words of God. They would know this because, first of all, he had shared with them not what they wanted to hear, but what they needed to hear. But more than that, they would know that a prophet had been among them because of the outcome of the message that had been delivered. They wouldn't be able to deny it as God's judgment fell upon them. Now, looking at what God said to Israel, what then would be the measure of success for a man like this? Of course, it couldn't be something tangible. It couldn't be something that can be measured by way of numbers. Success could not be determined by the number of people who responded to God's word with the spirit of contrition and faith. It couldn't be determined by the number of people who were saved. And it couldn't be measured in this way because, again, God is absolutely clear that some of the people simply would not receive it. We also know this because Ezekiel, there's no way he could force the people to listen. There is no way that he could force the people to hear God's word or to believe it. This, of course, is something that was beyond his ability. Now, I'm not Ezekiel, and you clearly are not Ezekiel either, right? I don't think, well, I guess there's one who can claim to be Ezekiel sitting here today, right? Yeah. But none of us can rightly hold ourselves up as a great prophet of God. I don't think any of us would dare to do that. And of course, our circumstances are not the same as his. However, that being said, there are some strong similarities between Ezekiel and his circumstances and those in which we find ourselves today. Like Ezekiel, you and I, we live in a society where our people have been living in an ongoing state of rebellion and sin for many, many years. Not only that, they have lived in a state of ongoing sin or unrepentant sin. And we as a whole are both impudent and stubborn, much like the people of Israel. Now, many of us in the United States like to think of our people as God's people. We like to think of our nation as God's nation. But like Israel, we're anything but that. And like Ezekiel, we have been called to bring the word of the Lord to our people. We have been called by God to faithfully proclaim the good news of Jesus, and we have been called to make disciples among them. Yet, just like the prophet, in our lesson for this morning, there is absolutely no guarantee when it comes to the response of those to whom we speak. As we bring to them the good news, we don't know if they will listen, or we don't know if they will fail to hear. We don't know if they'll receive God's word or if they'll reject it. And for this reason, our success cannot be determined by way of numbers, right? Like Ezekiel, you and I, we are also unable to force people to hear. We are unable to force people to listen. We are unable to force people to receive God's word and to believe it. And so again, our success cannot be measured by anything that's tangible. It can't be numbered, as I mentioned earlier, by the numbers of people who are filling our pews each week. It can't be measured by our membership roster. It can't be measured by the number of hits on our YouTube channel or on our sermons on our website each week. It can't be measured by the number of new members we receive, by the conversions that take place, by the number of baptisms we have, nor can it be measured by the number of people who decide to leave our church, that this isn't the right home for them. So how then could Ezekiel determine his success in light of this call? And in the same way, how can we know whether or not that we have been successful? How can we know that we have done our job and that we've done our job well? And really, there's only one answer to this question, and the answer is this. Did Ezekiel faithfully carry out the calling of God? Did he faithfully proclaim the word of God to the people? And we can see this clearly. It wasn't part of our lesson for this morning, but if you're looking at your Bible, jump down to verse 8 of chapter 2. Because after God told Ezekiel that he was not to be afraid of the people, after telling him that he was not to be afraid of their words and that he was not to be dismayed by their looks, here is what God said. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back. And there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. So we see, first of all, that God called Ezekiel himself as the prophet to receive the word that God was giving to him. He was not to be a rebel like the people who surrounded him. And it was portrayed, God's word was portrayed as something that he had to eat. But we see clearly in verse 10 that this wasn't food, this was a message. It was a word of God. Again, he saw an outstretched hand, and this hand was holding the scroll of a book that had writing both on the front and on the back of it. And as we saw, he was called to eat this scroll, to eat this book. And we see that to Ezekiel, it tasted as sweet as honey. That being said, the message was anything but an appealing message. It was not a message that anyone would naturally want to deliver, that they would want to bring to the people. And we see this in the fact that the words of this book were messages, as he mentions, of lamentation, of mourning, and of woe. And this tells us that Ezekiel's message was largely one of judgment. Yet again, he was called to faithfully bring this word and to deliver it to the people. And in the same way, God has given to us his word that we are to deliver to the people. So our success will be determined only by way of our faithfulness to the Lord and to the call that he has given to us. If we have borne witness of Jesus to the world around us, we have been successful. If we have proclaimed the gospel to the people that we encounter, we have been successful. If we have endeavored to make disciples, we have been successful. And in that case, we have been successful even if no one comes to faith in Jesus. In that case, we have been successful even if nobody decides to join our church. In that case, we have been successful even if our weekly attendance and the amount of money that we gather in our offering plate remains largely consistent over a period of time. Now, we do, of course, have to be honest with ourselves when we consider this. We have to acknowledge the fact that we have indeed fallen short when it comes to this calling that God has given to us. We have to confess that so often we have failed to share the gospel when we have had the opportunity to do so. And we have to confess that we have failed to make disciples of those whom God has placed under our care. We have often failed to do so because, as God warned Ezekiel, we're afraid. We fear those who surround us. We fear their response. Now, of course, here in the United States, we don't typically have to fear persecution. We don't typically have to fear job loss or physical harm, but we have been afraid of what others might say about us or even how they might perceive us. However, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that this isn't the only reason why we have failed to follow through with our calling. Sometimes our failure is one of pure neglect. Sometimes our failure is one of simple laziness. We sometimes will simply fail to speak of God's word in our home and with our children. Sometimes we simply refuse to take part of the ministry of the church. We refuse to teach Sunday school, to help with the youth, or to take part in other ministry opportunities here at the church. And we fail to do it because, frankly, we have other priorities. We have other things that are more important to us, and sometimes we fail to do them because we don't want it to take away from our fun and from our relaxation. Even though preaching and teaching the Word of God is something that I do for a living, the same thing is true of me. I haven't always followed through when it comes to sharing God's Word. I've done so in church, of course, but outside of the church is where the problem often lies. It's there where I've often fallen short. And like you, I have sometimes failed to do so out of fear. I was afraid of how people might look at me or how they might react to me. Sometimes it's just been due to neglect and selfishness. I simply didn't want to deal with it at that moment in time. I had other things that I wanted to do. And although I have certainly grown in this area of my life and faith over the course of the years, I'm still far from perfect. And I'm sure that many of you can also recount exact specific circumstances in which you have failed in this way. And this, of course, is reason for each and every one of us to repent. It's reason for us to confess our sin and to seek God's forgiveness. It's reason for us to trust in Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, and his promise for the mercy that we so desperately need. However, this morning, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say, because my aim today is not to try to guilt you or manipulate you into evangelism and outreach. That sometimes works in the short term, but it's largely ineffective over time. And I'm also not suggesting that in order to be faithful to God, you know, you have to share the gospel with every single person you encounter from day to day. I'm not trying to say that if you didn't share the gospel with the girl checking you out at Bronson's, or that if you didn't share the gospel with a FedEx driver as he brought a package to your front door, that you have failed. My intent this morning is to encourage you. And I want to encourage you with the fact that our success, that your success, it's not determined by anything tangible. It's not determined by numbers. It's not determined by the number of notches you can place on your belt. It's not determined by the number of people who you have led to faith in Jesus, you know, with whom, you know, you've recited the sinner's prayer. It's not determined by the number of people that you've brought to church over the course of the years. It's not determined by the number of people who have joined our church because of your friendship and your outreach to them. It's not even determined by the number of people with whom we have shared. Success is determined by our faithfulness to the call of God. It's determined by sharing God's word with those who need to hear it. It's determined by our willingness to do so, regardless of how we might be received. And quite honestly, I don't know about you, but I find this completely freeing and refreshing as I consider the call that Jesus has given to me. I don't have to sit there and count and judge myself. I simply need to go out and, because of my faith in Jesus, share that good news that he has spoken to me. Amen. Let's pray together at this time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the encouragement of this passage here today. And although, as I mentioned, I think we can all confess that we have fallen short for many reasons and in many ways when it comes to evangelism and in outreach, we again thank you for the encouragement that is provided here. We thank you for the ability to see that our success, it's not determined by numbers. It's not determined in tangible ways. It's not determined by counting up, whether it's people or money or things, but simply by our willingness to go forth and to be used by you. And we pray, Lord, that you would give that willingness to each one of us as we realize what you have done for us, how you forgave us, how you gave to us your mercy while we deserved anything but that. We pray, Lord, that this would motivate us to share that same gospel with those who have yet to hear or have yet to receive this wondrous news. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.